Welcome to the Kingdom Culture Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this spirit-filled message, that it blesses your week and brings you joy and perspective. To connect with us, hop on social media, and for more information, head to kingdomculturechurch.com.au.
Oh my gosh, come on. Come on, 10 a.m. You can have fun in church. My goodness. Far out. All right, expansion. We're in our expansion series, which is exciting. Pastor Robin had to launch that a couple of weeks ago. And the topic today is fulfillment. It's contentment. And when Pastor Rob first told me that, I was like, cool. I didn't really understand how being fulfilled is an act of expansion. But then the Holy Ghost did what he did and breathed on it. And I don't want to set expectations too high, but God's got something to say this morning. God's got something to say. If you're in a season of walking through the fire, if stuff's hard in family or if finance is tough, Holy Ghost has got your number this morning. The title of my sub-message under fulfillment is, I've learnt the secret. I've learnt the secret. I want to read to you from Philippians 4. It's a great verse. You'll know two of these verses off by heart, and the rest you might be like, I don't know, that was there. But very famous passages. This is the writings of the Apostle Paul. He writes this to the church in Philippi while he's under house arrest in Rome. There's a lot to be gained from Paul's posture while he's in prison. There's a lot to be gained from what he says whilst it might be over for him. Like, he's going to trial, he doesn't know what's going to happen. And that lens frames what we're about to read in a very interesting light. So this morning, there's not going to be too many funny stories about me and how I suck at being a husband and taking the bins out, but God's going to download something to us through Philippians. It's going to be on the screen. If you have a Bible, read along with me. Philippians 4, 10, and we're going to go all the way through to 10 to 19, but we're going to be okay. This is Paul speaking. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Sassy opening. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me, Philippi, church I planted 10 years ago, that I'm a father to. Thank you for remembering. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. By the way, he's talking about money. We're not talking about that this morning, but just to frame the lens for you, he's talking about money. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content. I have learned the secret, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. Does anyone here know what it is to be in need? I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content. Someone say content. Content. Someone say content. Content. In any and every situation, whether well fed, praise Jesus, or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And then the verse that every buff 20 Christian puts on their Instagram as they do the squat. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Come on, Craig. Yeah. Yet it was good for you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once. I love Paul. Paul just has to flex here real quick. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. We're not actually talking about money this morning, but Pastor Rob, we should use this one time for money. I've received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied. He's under house arrest for preaching the gospel. And he's like, I'm good. Someone say, I'm good.
I'm good.
I've received full payment and have more than enough. I'm amply supplied. Now that I've received from Aphroditus the gifts you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Jesus Christ. That's the other banger. That's the other bumper sticker. Kurong's made a lot of money from verses 13 and 19. He's under house arrest. He finishes a letter by saying, God is going to accomplish what you need, Philippi. You see, this tells me that the Apostle Paul has completely died to himself. He is under house arrest and he is still encouraging and exhorting his churches that, hey, God's going to supply. God's going to provide. Thank you for the gift. I appreciate it. A little bit of sass. Thank you for remembering me. It's me, the guy that planted the church. Hey, what's up? But it's not about me. I love this passage, man. It's expanding, it's challenging, and it's tough. See, taking you out of bondage is easy peasy, Japanesey for Jesus. Taking you out, showing you freedom is easy. See, taking you out of Egypt is easy for him. Getting Egypt out of you is harder. You see, purchasing freedom for you, when I say easy, we know it was actually a 3-day torturous affair, but it says that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. You see, paying and bankrolling your freedom was always the main assignment and agenda of heaven. You making sure that the old ways get out of you, that is where there needs to be collaboration. And that is where contentment lies. You see, to be fully expanded, we need freedom. And contentment is the key to being free. If we can be content in every season, we'll be free. It's not about you. That's good. Either we all clap or none of us do. Living free in Christ. You see, death has lost its sting for the Apostle Paul. Probably because he's been beaten to death a few times. In chapter 1 of Philippians, we see that he's free from fear. We don't have time to go through all of Philippians, but I encourage you to read it and any connect groups go through it. The Apostle Paul is free from fear. In chapter 2, we see that the Apostle Paul is free from the flesh. He goes into, hey, I don't do that anymore. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. And then in this passage, I believe Paul is saying inadvertently, I'm free from me. I no longer am the headline of my life. You're never going to get heaps of amens because I enjoy being the headline of my life. I'm sure you don't, but I enjoy it. I often wake up and think, what am I going to eat? Amen. Thank you. Trent's with me. You know, I often think to myself, you know, how can I increase my paycheck? I often think to myself, how can I increase my social media following? I often think to myself, how can I increase the youth ministry? And you aren't inherently bad. God wants you to be blessed, but true freedom is found in whatever happens to me, I'm going to be a conduit. I'm going to serve him. The Apostle Paul is free. I want to be free like that. But I thought we are free. Jesus paid the price. He did. But our lives yet don't look like what is available to us, so we need to have some keys to unlock fulfillment in our life. We're all on a desperate pursuit of happiness. Nothing wrong with happy, but he didn't die to make you happy. He died to make you holy. Nothing. I'm not raging against happy. I love being happy. Being happy is fun. Last night, I was playing FIFA with Nathan for a little bit, and we got some food, and then I made some tacos. I was happy. But Jesus didn't die for me to eat tacos. I don't think. Jesus died that I would be sanctified, I'd be washed by the blood, I'd be clean, and I would be a living example of what it means to be saved. But I would be a living example in great seasons and a living example in sucky seasons. Because we've learned the secret. I'm never preaching this at a conference. I want to go through with you some keys to contentment that I feel like have been locked up in this passage. And they're kind of practical. But when you, sometimes people are like, there's deep preaching and there's simple preaching. Have you listened to Jesus much? Loved throwing around stuff about coins, sheep, seeds, people getting beat up on the side of the road. Then he used language and vernacular that people could understand. Yeah. And his disciple is locked up in seemingly simple premise is supernatural keys to living our life. Because I wouldn't even have to be a pastor to know that sometimes we struggle. Sometimes we struggle in our relationships and with our family. Gosh, family's the best, but like sometimes they're the worst. Not mine, but yours are. Life happens. I'm not a fan of Christians that sort of float around like life is grand and nothing goes wrong. And I don't work. I don't work because my dad's very rich, but life is good and nothing goes wrong. That's not what Jesus taught. It's not what Paul went through. It's not what any generals or matriarchs of the faith in the Old or New Testament, that's not what they say. They say, despite everything, God is with me. Despite this going wrong, God is with me. And then when it goes right, they pour it out. And they're like, God, you're so good. You're so faithful. Amen. Let's preach this at a conference somewhere. Keys to contentment. Come on, point one. Rejoice in the Lord, and again I say. Have you seen that meme where it's like R-E and then a picture of Joyce Meyer's face? It's like, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say, rejoice. Ah, it's so funny. Why does it say rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice? Because we got to remind ourselves. We got to remind ourselves. Now, there's a fine line, and I know that my wife's quite has a missional heart, and even Pastor Rob's got a very missional heart. There's this fine line when we're talking about rejoicing, because no Western church wants to hear, like, there was once a preacher that I was listening to, very anointed, full of the anointing of God, and he came on stage and he was like, if you know who it is, don't say the name. I don't like the Western church. I got pastors getting beheaded in Mexico. Y'all over here with your jobs. Y'all need a touch of the Holy Ghost. I think complacency is a devil. Man, I'm telling you, he's anointed. He's anointed as all heck. But what I'm saying is, I don't think the 600 people there, I think they all stopped their Netflix account for a week. Because, like, fear doesn't do much. Like, yeah, I love this man of God, he's a general, but we don't need condemnation to push us into the seat of rejoicing. We need to look at the person of Jesus, look at our past, look in the rearview mirror and go, oh man, God, you are so good. And I don't have a job right now, and if I do, my boss is crazy, and the kids are possessed of Satan, but God, you're good. You see, we look in the passage here in Philippians, and Paul says, I am thankful for the gift. He's under house arrest. He remembers to say, thank you. Life will desperately try to ruin your rejoicing. Yeah. Passionately. Oh, with a vigor. Yeah. This is very uplifting. This is the house of God. Now, we're pretty honest at KCC. It will. Life will try and get you down. Not prophesying doom and gloom. If you get an amazing job and you find the perfect spouse and you win the lottery, praise God, tithe on it. But if you're a normal person with normal family, with cars that break down, with jobs that are hard sometimes, with bosses that don't understand you, with friendships that have miscommunication, then it feels awkward, and then you see them at church, and then you're kind of sweating, and then it's weird, and you're like, hi. Like, if you have a life and stuff goes wrong, it will sometimes rage against trying to stop you being thankful. But just as much as we need a generation that's going to go up to a cancer patient and say, in the name of Jesus, we need a generation when everything's going wrong, not to be weird, not to be flaky, still do all the stuff, still be responsible, but that will lift their hands to heaven and say, God, I thank you that in the midst of house arrest, in the midst of dysfunction, in the midst of lack, Father, I thank you that I've learned the secret to living with a little and living with a lot, and it's focusing on you. Rejoice in the Lord, and again I say, rejoice. Oh, we got a hallelujah. Praise God. I'm telling you, one of my secret missions, and it's been approved by Pastor Rob, is to get this church the most responsive church in Brisbane. We're not that bad. Sunday mornings we could be a bit better, but we're not that bad. Preachers come here and they're like, whoa. But I'm telling you, Stephen Furtick, like, gets on stage at his church, which he built, which is 12 years old, and he's got like 55 million campuses, and he walks on stage, and he's a great preacher, but he'll just be like, man, God's good, and like 75 million people stand up and like, God's good, he's been good, he's going to keep being good, I'm telling you. We're in Burpee, Gary, we're not in Texas, so we're probably, you know, there's a line, but whoa. I'm telling you, you're thinking to yourself, this church is crazy. You haven't seen nothing yet. We haven't even done an altar call. Point number two, let's put it up. I've got to keep moving. Put trust in the gap always. Pastor Robert Potter. So what is my point here? Paul says something really interesting because he touches on the fact that they've forgotten him, right? He's like, hey, thanks for remembering. But he says something really, really cool. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. Part of Paul's contentment, now I'm not the Apostle Paul, I don't know why that's funny. I'm just kidding. But if I planted churches all across Thessalonica, Philippi, Greece, Rome, I'd seen probably tens of thousands, maybe even hundreds saved. And I was like reforming the known world. And then I got put in jail and none of them supported me or sent me money. I would be in a funk, like a massive funk. Like I'd be like, don't, I'd be quitting. And I know you wouldn't, you'd just intercede on behalf of the saints, but I would. But he actually says in this letter, he says, I am going to trust. He doesn't know that they didn't have opportunity to. Maybe it just got to such a point where their guilt was so big, they're like, we should send Aphrodius to go send him an offering. But he puts trust in the gap and says, hey, Philippi, I believe the best. Yeah. You see, this is huge, and this is why Pastor Rob's been talking about this at a staff level, is if we could just keep the points up, that would be amazing. Thank you, tech team, you're the best. Is that like, you will have life, that tricksy little minx, life will give you many opportunities to throw a bunch of mistrust in the gap. Right. Yeah. Why did they say it that way? Why are they hanging out with that group? They told me they were busy. Which is weird anyway. Like our young adults went through this little season, which I did for one day, where they all went on Find My Friends. It's this app on your phone. You can see where everyone is. It just didn't go well. Like, oh, I'm busy, but you're at the same places as me. Quickly turn it off. Like it's just not. It's weird. The modern age is weird. But life will give you lots of opportunities to be like, why did they get promoted? Why are they song leading? Why did my son and daughter not bring the grandkids over for dinner? Life will give you many opportunities to be like, they're against me, they hate me, what have I done? And then it'll become a festering ground for your and my insecurities. But the apostle here is going, you know what? I'm just going to believe the best. Got my ankle bracelet on, I'm eating some tortellini, and I'm going to believe the best. I'm going to believe that Philippi was busy. I'm going to believe that the church was exploding. And Philippi was exploding, like from like 2,000 to like 16,000. Come on, amazing. Put trust in the gap. We've got to do that. We've got to make sure that we are believing the best. I'm not going to get bitter. I'm going to get better. Point number three. This is very eloquent and well written. Seasons sometimes suck. Seasons sometimes soar. But I will live it out. You see, when I was younger, just before I got married and just before we planted this church, I was a little bit naive. Still probably am. But I was under the impression that things just go well all the time. I wasn't married yet, but I was dating a hottie and I was like, marriage is going to be awesome and easy. It is awesome. It is awesome. I was like, churches just grow. Like, Carl Lentz has gone from like a rooftop barbecue to like 7,000 in like a year. That's all we'll do. Paul says, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving. Ecclesiastes 3 says this, to everything there is a season and a time to purpose. To every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which was planted. What if what you're going through isn't an attack of the devil? It isn't a sign you need to move churches and step down from everything you're doing and quit all your jobs? What if it's just a season? What if it's just a season, man? Everything's going wrong. I need to go to Zimbabwe. Maybe. And if you do, bless you in saving Zimbabweans. But maybe it's just a season. I'm stressed. It's a sign from the Lord. I need to quit my job. Maybe. Or maybe you're just stressed because it's part of life. And I don't know. My leader isn't listening to me. I'm leaving. I'm moving to Hillsong. I hide it here. Maybe. Hillsong's a good church. If you go there, bless you. But maybe your leader is a good person and doing their best, and maybe it's not a sign to leave. Maybe it's just a season. Maybe it's just a season. It's not very spiritual, is it? But it's just a season. We're just really adverse to discomfort. We really don't like discomfort. And I don't. Like, I'm not sitting here being like, you should love discomfort. Just be uncomfortable and enjoy it. No, I hate discomfort. I hate being uncomfortable. I hate the heat. Like, I need my aircon blasting at night. Otherwise, I just sweat. Like, I'm from London, and I never acclimatize to here. Like, I hate the heat. I hate it. I get in my hands do this, and I, like, squint. Anna calls it the hot and bothered face. It's really cute. And, like, I hate it. I'm just not a fan of it. But like, thank you, sister. Thank you. But like, being uncomfortable, like, if you want everyone to like you, don't be a leader. Give away free Nandos. Like, if you want life to always be comfortable, don't do anything. Like, don't get married. Don't have kids. Don't get into ministry. Don't start a job. Don't study. Don't date. Just don't do anything. Just stand there and be like, I'm comfortable. I'm not moving. Like, life is sometimes uncomfortable. Paul was sometimes uncomfortable. Jesus got very uncomfortable. Like, I want to be... Dad, it's happening. Y'all better do it tonight. Dad's going to have a preaching towel tonight. It's going to be great. Okay, let's recap really quickly. Rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. Put trust in the gap always. Season sometimes sucks, season sometimes sore, but I will live it out. Point number four, dig your own wells. Have you ever, I love this, man. Have you ever, you've gone over someone's house for dinner, and you just don't know. You just don't know their culinary level. Like, you're very dubious. And so you do that thing, you pre-eat. You've done that. I do that sometimes when Anna cooks. No, you think I'm joking. Like, the other day, I ate before she got home. That's so rude, Fred. She's not the best at cooking. She's good at, like, everything else. It's fine. Calm down. Also, I would not say that if she was here. But, you know, you've done that. You're like, I'm just not sure if I'm going to get fed when I go to, like, that place. I'm going to pre-eat. Or, no, this is a good one for all the uni students out there or whatever. Like, you're going to a restaurant for a friend's birthday, but you are poor. Like, you got no money. And so you're like, yeah, I'm going to have, like, 7 Weet-Bix, and then at the fancy restaurant, I'm going to get a complimentary side salad with nothing else. You feed yourself. This is what the Apostle Paul says here. He says, not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that it be credited to your account. I've received full payment. I have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I've received from Aphrodius the gifts you sent. This is the worst thank you card ever. He's like, hey, Philippi, thanks for remembering me. Cheers for the gift. If I was the lead pastor at Philippi, I'd be like, rude. Cost a lot of money. Sent you one of my good leaders. Aphrodius means handsome. I sent you one of my good-looking, amazing leaders. Give you an offering. It actually does. To give you an offering. But what Paul is saying is, hey, thank you for your generosity. And I pray you keep doing it, but not because of me. So it would be credited unto you. This is how the kingdom works when it comes to finance. We're not talking about finance, but this is what Paul's talking about. And so it's like, hey, I've dug my wells. I know where my source is. But thank you. I appreciate it. But I have dug my own wells. You see, we need to be a place and a church. It's like, I hope you get welcomed really well as you walk in. But if you don't, you've dug a well. I hope that you, when we have conferences, and we've got some awesome conferences coming up, a worship thing and women's conference, and it's just going to be amazing. I pray you get a word from heaven. I pray they call you out and you fall over under the power, and Pastor Heather's there recording every prophecy, like, just diligently. I pray you get that. But if you don't, you've dug a well. I pray everyone here is nice to you. I pray that you're loved well. I pray you're invited over for meals. I pray you're in a connect group. I pray that you earn lots of money. But if you don't, you've dug a well. Like 80%, maybe I'm talking to young adults, but I don't think I am. Maybe like 80% of people, they put all the stock and value in a church or in their walk in what everyone else is doing. It's like, hold on. In a lot of my catch-ups, I hear a lot about people and what they're doing right and what they're doing wrong. It's not that many catch-ups. I catch up with someone and they just talk to me about how thankful they are that Jesus saved them. That's good. You know, I really like being liked. I don't know about you. I'm pretty good at liking people as well. I've got a pretty high standard when it comes to like encouragement and that sort of thing. And so I got a pretty high standard when it comes to receiving it. And so basically the worst thing you could do to me is like tell me that you hate me, not tell me why, and then leave. Like, that's the worst thing you could do. I found out, like, I don't know, 6 months ago or something, I found out that some people in our nation, that sounds very epic, doesn't it, some people in our nation, just was saying some stuff about me. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't like, he's a murderer, but it just wasn't encouraging. It wasn't nice. And I guess you could say some of them were people of or had a element of Christian fame, which isn't a real thing. Like, just means that some churches know you. I have that too. It's not real. But anyway, and they were saying some stuff that wasn't that nice. And I was very hurt by it. I'd done some stuff for a couple of the individuals in question. And so I did what any pastor full of the Holy Ghost, the peace of God, does. I took to my Instagram story and I vehemently wrote a passive-aggressive, holier-than-thou spiel about how we need to encourage each other in the Lord and how small people tear down people. And I immediately got a call from one of my mentors from New Zealand saying, what are you putting that garbage on Instagram for? I said, shut up. I didn't say that. And he was preaching a conference of 15,000. He called me literally to say, stop it. What are you doing? This is a terrible idea. This is one of the worst things you've ever done. Like, this is what he said. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I just wanted to encourage each other in the Lord. And he's like, stop covering your dysfunction with false spirituality. Literally, you are hurting and that's fine. But one, who cares what they say? Two, do you know your identity in Christ? Three, I need to go preach the next session. Thank you, bro. It was clear in that area I hadn't dug my own well. I'm not saying you're like impervious. Like, stuff hurts. Just don't put it on social media. The youth ministry, I get like, you know what you did, ... It's like, no one knows, man. No one knows and no one cares. Shut up. Band, would you come? It'd be great. We gotta wrap this up. I just love the posture of Paul. I just love that everything's going wrong and he's being a person of empowerment. Point number five, if we could put that up, and team, if we could hustle, that'd be amazing. Don't start worshiping the wrong thing. These are keys to contentment and fulfillment in your life. Don't start worshiping the wrong thing. Paul says to the church in Philippi, I rejoice in the gift you sent. I rejoice in the Lord in the gift you sent. Paul is saying, hey, thank you so much, but it wasn't you. Thank you so much for what you've given. But God told you to, so I'm going to give glory to Him. In the midst of this situation, Paul remembers the person to worship. The things of this world don't cloud his vision and judgment. I pray that you give into the house of God every week. I do. But it's because He bought it that you brought it. It's because of what He did. You're not giving to Pastor Rob. You're definitely not. Have you seen his car? Nah, sorry, Dad. But I pray you remember. We say a lot in this house something that I haven't heard in heaps of houses, which is we're worshipers first. We're worshipers first. What are you worshiping, man? The priority system of your life can be found in the things that you are fixated on and the things you put value in. If you're fixated and focused on people, then every little thing they do will destabilize you. Can I encourage you this morning? I'm not saying it's okay for people to treat you bad. I'm just saying it's probably going to happen. And when it does, it shouldn't shake your entire faith. Do all the smart stuff. Create boundaries, create space. But remember the one that we worship. He says, I know what it is to have plenty, and I know what it is to be in want. I found those two things, plenty and want, are often, I'm almost finished, just stay with me. Those two things, I need you to watch this. Those two things, you'll usually have one of one and some of the other as well. Like, I'm yet to find someone who's like, I'm completely in plenty. Like, you might have heaps of money, but your health might be not good. You might be needing a miracle in your health. Your marriage might be doing great, but maybe your relationship with your kids needs work. Plenty and want. And these two things, I think, they just stay that way probably forever because He's our Savior for a reason. We need Him. And you might think, yeah, but bro, my life currently is sitting in like want. Like, I feel like there's nothing in the plenty column. But friend, can I encourage you, there is. You're on a one-way ticket. You were lost and you were found. That's our first point of reference. That's our first tick in the plenty column. I don't have a job. Maybe, but are you eating food? Do you have people that love you? Most of us walk around with a mini computer in our back pocket that costs about $2,000. I want to tell you, there's more in your plenty column than you think there is. You're doing better than you think you are. Comparatively to 90-something percent of the globe, you are immeasurably blessed. We got to worship the right thing. If you worship how someone else is doing, you will always measure up to old mate Tesla, an old mate big house, an old mate aircon in every room, old mate big paycheck, old mate seemingly perfect family. No, we don't focus on that. We focus on Jesus. We focus on the one we worship. And as we worship Him, we become more like Him. And as we worship Him, we're reminded again. I bet there was times in that house in Rome where Paul was like, God, why? I've planted churches all over for you. I've been like, people hate me. I've been embarrassed. I've been chased out of towns. I've been whipped within an inch of my life. God, why am I in this situation? But just like he did with Silas a little bit later on, I bet he worshipped and he remembered, oh, this is who you are, God. This is who you are. Don't start worshipping the wrong thing. Last point. Don't fake it. Disappointment doesn't have to be deadly. Paul is currently on house arrest for crimes he has not committed. There's two words that scare me as a married man, more than probably any other words, and they are these: I'm fine. When my darling wife tells me that she is fine, I'm terrified. Because what it really means is there is so much going on right now, and most of it's probably because you've forgotten 700 things, but we will talk about it at a later date. So when we're out and we're in the car, we're about to pull up at a dinner. I'm like, baby, good? No, I'm fine. I'm like, oh no. I like start going through my head. I'm like, are the bins out? Did I feed Zane? Did I leave my wet towel on the bed, which happens more than it probably should? Like those two words, I'm fine. You know, it's totally fine in a marriage to decide when you want to talk about stuff, but oftentimes as Christians, we walk around going, I'm fine. It's like, bro, your leg is like hanging off by like a tendon. I'm fine. Disappointment isn't sin. Pain isn't sin. But what are you going to do with it? There's nothing wrong with crying. There's nothing wrong with being upset. There's even a verse, take this with a grain of salt, that says, be angry, but do not sin. Emotions are fine. If we're created in the image of God, I want to say that God has emotions. He always deals with them healthily. But there's verses in the Bible that say it pained the heart of God. God was vexed, like he has emotion. And you have emotion, but what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with your disappointment? Hey, my situation will not determine my spirit. It won't. It's not a huge deal, but a wreck is coming to pick up my old car that's there. It doesn't work anymore. And then this week, Anna's car died. And it's a 1998 Corolla. And those things, you know, they live forever. But this time, that's all she wrote. And so now we have one car. And I was like, that's annoying. There's been an attack on cars in this house this week. Craig called me on Friday night. He was on Platform for Youth. He's like, bro, my car's broken down on the highway. And then I was driving and I was like, on Bluetooth, of course. And I was like, oh, that's terrible, bro. I see you. So I pulled over. He was like holding up the whole Bruce Highway. But he's saving for a wedding and a marriage and his car's like dead. And Jazz is pretty bad too. But what I'm saying is that it can't dictate our spirit, church, because if every little thing that happens dictates our spirit, we're no different from anyone else. We're exactly the same. We're exactly the same. I'm sure Paul cried as the flesh was ripped off his back. I'm sure he was upset when the churches he'd planted all over the known world forgot about him, or maybe felt awkward, or maybe didn't want to send him money, was hoping it would just all work out. I'm sure Paul was upset when he got bitten by a snake and was like, ah, and then got shipwrecked. I'm sure he was hurt and I'm sure he was disappointed, but it didn't change his calling. It didn't change his spirit, man. What if we could be Christians that were like, if you have to fake it, some people are like, don't fake it. No, fake it. If you have to come into the house of God and everything sucks and you're like, I rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice, and you go up the front and you're like, ah, and you have to tie your arms up. Who cares? Because soon feelings will follow your faith, and soon your spirit will start to rise from the inside and go, hey, he is good. Yeah, my car's broken down, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know. But God's going to provide a way. God's going to do something. He's going to do something. Touch three people and say, be free. Touch three people and say, be free. See, we need to fill up the AM service so you don't have to walk around to touch people. The middle section's like, touch three people, cool. Just walk through all this free space. No, we need a revival. Or we just need all the members to turn up, either way. Come on, you can be free. I wanna tell you, I'm gonna finish. KCC, you can be free. Why don't you stand with me this morning? You can be free. Freedom is the best expansion you could ever do. I pray you move in power. I pray you love the prophetic. But if you're free, and you're free indeed, that's the best way you can expand your spirit, expand your soul, expand what God is doing. I'm going to finish up, and then we're going to sing. But just quickly, my greatest expansion is not in finance, fame, or fortune. It's in freedom. God will not say, well done, good and famous servant. He'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. Fulfillment is the goal. Contentment is the key. Can I tell you, I'm pumped to speak to 2,000 Singaporeans in June at a massive conference in Singapore. I'm going to go full Pentecostal. Like, I'm going to have two towels. Like, it's going to be awesome. And then 3 weeks later, I'm speaking to 3,000 Hong Kongians at an all-day Sunday. I'm pumped. But you know what else I'm pumped for? My sister's birthday on Saturday. I don't know where we're going yet. We're going to get lunch or something. What's the point, Fred? The point is, expansion is not always this big, glamorous, amazing thing. Expansion is holistic health. It's fulfillment. It's contentment in and out of season. It's going, God, when the church is packed, I'll praise you. And when the church is empty, I'll pray to you. It's God, when the marriage is going well, we'll thank you. And when it's going hard, we'll bring it to you. Come on, we need to be a house of hope, a house of fulfillment, a house of contentment. Amen? What we're going to do this morning is I'm not going to pray for anyone because this is about you and God. We're going to finish. I just want to ask if you just come to the altar. We're just going to sing about freedom or something. I don't know. Jazz is going to lead us. I just want to invite you to come and worship. Come on. Just a few minutes. If you don't usually come to the altar, come to the altar.